Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all the problems that we face in the world today, here's a comforting thought. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will settle everything. Let us pray. Our Father, we do bless you today because Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Father, he will return. And Father, in expression for every Christian listening today, I'd like to say hallelujah. What a Savior. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But again, Father, for every Christian who is listening, we do thank you that he has not yet come because of the many who are lost. For our sake, Lord, selfishly, even so, come quickly. But for their sake, our God, we plead for their souls, ere you come again, and their eternal destiny be the lake of fire. O our God, we pray in Christ's name. Save those listening today who are outside of Christ. And Father, living in this 11th hour, just the possible moments before the Son of God returns again. Bless our God as we consider your word today with thanksgiving in Jesus' most worthy name. Amen. To the Christians at Ephesus, Paul wrote, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Today's message will conclude our series on a subject that we have been considering for a number of weeks, the subject of Christ and that church which he so dearly prized and greatly loved that he was willing to give himself that it might for all eternity be his possession. We have in our considerations seen that the church is not a superstructure, a building, a sprawling, gigantic organization, but it's simply a living organism. To help us understand it, the Word of God pictures it as a body, with Christ, the one who loved it and gave himself for it, as being the head, and we who have been saved by the grace of God making up the portion called the body. We've also seen it as a building, Christ himself being the cornerstone, and we who have been redeemed and ransomed by his blood being added to that church by the Holy Spirit, and thus we are living stones. We have also seen it pictured to us as a bride soon to be united in celestial marriage to Christ the bridegroom. Is it any wonder we can say joyfully and longingly, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, our blessed bridegroom. Christ provides for his church, though, during that time while it's left upon this sin-cursed world. He provides for it by leaving the Holy Spirit as a comforter, a guider, one who teaches. He also provides for it by raising up, by means of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, godly men called pastors, evangelists, and teachers. He calls out each and every child of God to be a priest of God. And as the holy priest of God, we are to go into his presence, even as the Levitical priest did. We go in to worship him, to bring him praise and adoration, and tell him from our hearts how much we love him. As royal priest, we are to go out from his presence, carrying the blessings of God to those about us, and especially to those who are outside of Christ. And for this chore, for this job, he not only commissions us by saying, Go ye, he empowers us, and he gives us the message, and he declares us to be his ambassadors. Ambassadors with the message, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the cross work of Jesus Christ, how through his shed blood, men and women can be brought into the family of God, into the body of Christ, added to the building of Christ, and be a portion of that bride for which he soon will come. Yes, beloved, we are left here not to sit, but to serve. We're left here to engage in spiritual warfare as empowered and led by the Holy Spirit and under the leadership of the captain and commander of our salvation, the Lord Jesus himself. But for the few moments we have left, I want to talk about the future of the church. What is the future of the church? It doesn't look too bright here on earth. There's so much hypocrisy in the church. The church has been so diluted by sin. The church has been led astray by blind leaders leading the blind. But oh, praise God, the future of the church is bright. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to tell you that that coming is a fact, not a fable. It's a faithful truth. It's not fantasy. The Savior declared it himself in John 14, for he said, I will come again. It is a reality. There was also a special angelic confirmation. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go, we read from Acts chapter 1. Yes, it is a reality. It's a surety, for we have also special apostolic revelation. For we read in 1 Thessalonians for one place, the Lord himself shall descend. Oh, he's not going to send Michael or Gabriel to get us. That would be great. But he is coming himself. It is a reality. It is a surety. Let me talk just for a moment to you about the speed of this coming, how rapidly it will take place, the brevity that will be required, the brevity of time, that measurement of time will be so minute. You know, in computer work, they talk about microseconds and milliseconds and, oh, just millions of seconds is the way that they would gauge the time of a computer. But, oh, I want to tell you that the brevity which will be required, that span of time when Christ comes back, is so brief it cannot be measured. There's a threefold injunction on the last leaf of God's Word in Revelation. Behold, behold, he says, surely I come quickly. By definite statement in the chapter of fundamentals, we read 1 Corinthians 15, we shall all be changed. All this and the devil offered the Lord Jesus all the kingdoms in a moment. But because he went by way of the cross, God will give him all the redeemed, all the saints, his body, his bride, his church, and he will give it to him in a moment of time when Christ returns. There's a familiar simile. It says, in the twinkling of an eye, these vile bodies of ours, that is the bodies of Christians, will be made like his. Listen, what more blessed, what more glorious prospect could the child of God have than to realize that in a moment of time, the twinkling of an eye, you'll be with him, you'll be like him, and it will be forever. Some listening today may be upon beds of affliction. Others may be going through times of great trial or testing or tempting. There may be some listening from behind bars today. But let me tell you, if you have Christ in your heart, if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you know the for sure you've been born again, in a moment, that body racked with sin or sickness will be changed and conformed like his. Then, quickly in closing, I want to talk about the result of his coming, the seriousness of his coming. For those of us who are saved, we will be with him. For the travail that he went through in Isaiah 53, we read that he shall be satisfied, for he will have with him that for which he gave himself, the church that he loved. But, oh, friend of mine, to those listening today who are lost, we read that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Why not right now, this very moment, sinner friend of mine, receive the Savior, be born again, be cleansed by his blood, say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, and I want Christ. I want him today. As many as received him, to them gave he power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to as many as would believe on his name. Will you do it? May God bless you.